The war crimes trial of Yugoslavia's former president Slobodan Milosevic has been underway for 5 weeks. Yesterday, the trial was delayed until at least Thursday while Milosevic recovers from the flu. Yesterday's hearing was to begin with a closed session as the court heard testimony from protected witnesses. Proceedings could go on for 2 years as the prosecution tries to prove Milosevic had command responsibility for atrocities committed during a decade of Balkan wars. The tribunal in The Hague will summon hundreds of witnesses. Of those who testify, many will be victims or alleged perpetrators, and they will require special assistance and protection, NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports.
Since 1993, about 2,000 witnesses have come to The Hague to testify at various war crimes trials. They have come to speak of horrifying events, and many come to speak on behalf of loved ones, victims of atrocities. Once they arrive here, they are confronted with a formal and forbidding institution. Judith Armata, who follows the tribunal on behalf of the Coalition for International Justice, says many victims of the Balkan Wars are eager to spill out their personal stories.
Now it becomes a different matter when you realize that you can't just tell your story, that you have to do it in a legal framework. And I think that's been frustrating for some of the witnesses.
It was precisely to cope with such frustrations that the International Tribunal set up its Victims and Witnesses Support Program. Wendy Loebwein is in charge of the emotional well-being of victims. She says her department is informed about 2 weeks before a witness is scheduled to appear.
And our first point of contact is really to start assessing what operational needs are there, visas, tickets, where do you live, do you need to drive to the airport, support. What kinds of issues, psychological, emotional, family, information does that witness need, and protection? What are the threats, the fears, the anxieties of this witness? So each witness is dealt with at an individual level, looking at those three areas of need.
Many of the victim witnesses are traumatized and vulnerable. Many rape victims are hesitant to testify. Many witnesses are afraid of reprisals. Wendy Loebwein relates the story of a trial about sexual violence. As the court day neared, one elderly woman was gripped by fear.
And she said, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid that in 50 years' time, there will be another war, and it will be remembered that I testified, and my grandchildren will suffer.
Wendy Loebwein listened to the old woman and helped her tackle her fears.
And eventually she did come, and she did testify, and she said, I have to do what I can in this life, and I have to trust to the future to look after my grandchildren.
Nearly half of all the 2,000 witnesses who have appeared in The Hague have asked the court for some kind of protection. This can range from voice distortion and scrambling of the image in the closed-circuit broadcast to use of a pseudonym or even a closed session of the trial. About 60 witnesses and their families have been given completely new identities and now live in a foreign country. This is the case of a Serbian truck driver who revealed to the tribunal that he was ordered to drive a refrigerator truck filled with the bodies of murdered Kosovar Albanians from Kosovo to Belgrade, where the victims were dumped into the Danube River. But the tribunal's assistance program has one big shortcoming. Victims can appear only as witnesses. They can't claim any form of compensation.
I look at their bravery in testifying, and I look at the struggle of their lives, and I really am coming to the conviction that justice internationally or locally not being linked to a restitution or compensation program of some kind leaves these witnesses without being able to fully benefit from this process they've taken part in.
And numerous human rights groups say that international justice cannot be complete without full recognition of victims' rights. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, The Hague.